Irish Illustrated Insider is sponsored by VisitSouthBend.com. Is it time to check a Notre Dame home game off your bucket list? Has it been too long since you've soaked in the game day atmosphere in person? Whether it's for the first time ever or in a while, start planning your trip to South Bend to watch the Fighting Irish with ideas and inspiration at VisitSouthBend.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Irish Illustrated Insider. It's Thursday, November 2nd. We are getting ready, all of us, to head out to Clemson, South Carolina. Notre Dame, ranked number 15 in the college football playoff rankings this week. They are a three-point favorite. The over-under is 44.5. I don't know, guys, I'm kind of going against the grain here before I start with the preview of Clemson, but I mean, what were your thoughts on Notre Dame being 15th in the first playoff committee's ranking? You know, LSU is the only two-loss team ahead of them. I think it's kind of 6-1, half dozen other between those two. What were your thoughts about them being number 15?
Yeah, if you would have said Notre Dame will be the second two-loss team, I'd think, oh, does that make 15? Well, that's fine. But I never thought they would be 15 going in, if that makes any sense at all. I was like, oh, 15, that's low. Oh, wait, there's two two-loss teams. Okay. Well, they're right there. That's what it is. I mean, those one-loss teams have...
Yeah, we have questions on this. One-loss teams ahead of where they were in AP.
I didn't have an issue with it. You know, especially Louisville, like that, you know, just like Louisville has one loss, Notre Dame has two losses, one of Notre Dame's losses is to Louisville. Like,
well, that's not even an option. That's not even an option.
Notre Dame should be behind Louisville. You know, and LSU, I'm totally with you. It's 6-1, half dozen another after this weekend. It won't be.
Right, exactly. That's how I wrote it, my Thursday thoughts. I actually had this information. I'm jumping ahead here to the second segment, but Tom the intern from Irish Illustrated posted a survey on what people's thoughts were on Notre Dame being 15th in the first college playoff ranking of 2023. He asked people to, is it too low, too high, or I'll take it? Not surprising, 67%, two-thirds thought it was too low. 4% thought it was too high. Those are just, those are people that are always looking to put Notre Dame down. And then 29% said I'll take it. So what category are you guys in? You're in the I'll take it category.
I'll take it, and I think it's spot on. But like, I'll take it. The reason you should just take it is like LSU is at Alabama, Missouri is at Georgia, Oklahoma is at Oklahoma State. Like this, it will work itself out quite nicely.
I think the only thing people could complain about, and it's nothing that they can control or anyone else can control, is that Clemson's not good enough to boost Notre Dame as much as they should have been in this particular situation.
Yeah, but I still think Clemson has enough cachet that if you go to Clemson and win, considering the close games that Clemson has played, that their inability to close because of their offense, they could have won. I'm not saying they should have won all four of those games, but they could have won any of them, including Duke, you know, had they just followed through in the red zone.
I agree that beating Clemson is good for Notre Dame fans, but if Clemson's 4-5 with North Carolina and South Carolina on the schedule, you might be looking at a 5-7 Clemson team.
Yeah.
It's like the second most significant game for Notre Dame this weekend after beating Clemson is USC hosting Washington. I was like, I don't think, as long as Notre Dame isn't staring at a reality where they have zero ranked wins, which is possible, that's why you need USC to sort of keep hanging around and wake up a little bit, because you want USC to be good if you're Notre Dame.
I think I've said this before, and I'm not even sure it's accurate anymore, Pete, but I think it would be such a major difference when you're drilling down on Notre Dame's ranking if you're trying to get to number 4, like let's say they had one loss and had zero ranked wins, as opposed to trying to get to number 11. It just feels like
it's much more similar to like who was the 69th team that should have been in the NCAA tournament. There's just a lot of different ways to cut it, but it's like Notre Dame, I think they're accurately ranked. Could they be a spot or two higher? Sure, but everything is in front of them. I think I said a couple weeks ago that I thought it was 50-50 that they would make the New Year's Six if they won out. I think it's more like 80-20 or 85-15 at this
point. Yeah, you want to get it, you want to get into that a little bit, Pete?
Sure.
It's the opposite of, well, not the opposite, but that's different than what we were talking about a week ago today.
Yeah, it's just chalk is taking hold now. And the more chalk that happens for Notre Dame, the better. In terms of moving up, like they, Missouri, Ole Miss, LSU, they all have to play either Alabama or Georgia. So you would think chalk would hold there. Texas and Oklahoma may play one of each other out. Penn State, unless Penn State has been like sandbagging aficionados, like they don't have anything on offense that's going to do anything against Michigan in a couple weeks, they'll be out. It just like Notre Dame can get to 10th, moving up five spots. I mean, we're talking about like Notre Dame just needs double-digit favorites to win the game that they play in to move up, because it knocks out the Ole Miss, Penn State, LSU. Like, so it's, I think Notre Dame will be fine. If LSU wins this weekend, that's how you get more towards the 15, not the 85. If you have some upsets in these bigger games, then Notre Dame could find itself sort of stuck around 12, 13, 14, and that won't be good enough to make it.
In today's Thursday thoughts, I didn't provide the rest of Louisville's schedule because they're number 13, but they have one loss, so they should get the tiebreaker with Notre Dame if they lose again. But number 12, and Pete, you mentioned part of this, number 12 Missouri, they're at Georgia this weekend. Then they have Tennessee, Florida, and at Arkansas. So there are going to be some losses in there. As you mentioned, number 11 Penn State, they host Michigan next weekend. And then number 10, Mississippi hosts Texas A&M, and they play at Georgia. And number 9, Oklahoma is playing at Oklahoma, a lesser Oklahoma State this year. They play them this weekend. They have West Virginia and at BYU. So, yeah, there's going to be plenty of movement there. And I hate to even mention all those things because right. Notre Dame's got to beat Clemson for any of this to matter. Otherwise, we're going to Tampa on January 1, right?
And Pete? Who had Oklahoma? I mean, yes. Here's my point about college football November, because we all said 2 weeks ago, well, Kansas is going to clip Oklahoma, and then they're going to do. I mean, come on, these teams are all losing. They're all going to blow these games. This is Kansas got hammered Oklahoma. I mean, Kansas was all over Oklahoma last year. Was Oklahoma 61 to what over Kansas? Like these games just happen differently.
It's hard. I remember Oklahoma almost lost to Kansas 2 years ago.
Yeah, last year.
I think it's just the point is more like if you're a Power Five team going to play at another Power Five team, it's tough.
Like Notre Dame,
including for Notre Dame. Hopefully not at Stanford, but certainly at Clemson. And that's the hardest part about going 10-2 and making the year 6 for Notre Dame. There's a lot of factors that have to happen. Is winning on Saturday. That's it.
That is it. And it could be, we were talking before we hit play here. It's difficult for me to look at this game and come up with a decision because on one hand, I know Notre Dame's better. I believe Notre Dame's better. Notre Dame's playing better football, their best football of the season right now. And Clemson's playing its worst because they can't score. They've scored 17 points in regulation each of the last 3 weeks, which kind of sounds like that little dip that Notre Dame took, during Ohio State and Duke and Louisville, facing some good defenses there, no doubt about it. But Clemson's not playing good football, and they're probably going into this game on the side of the ball where they're struggling the most offensively without their best player, Will Shipley.
I still think Clemson's defense holds an advantage over Notre Dame's offense in the game, but Notre Dame holds a bigger advantage with their defense over Clemson's offense. I said before this started, probably save it for the prediction, but this game was at Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame would be celebrating throughout the fourth quarter, getting subs into the game while they were beating Clemson by 17 points as you hit the fourth quarter, that type of thing. I don't think that's the case because you're going to Clemson now, but I do think Notre Dame would handle
Clemson.
I think Notre Dame would absolutely handle Clemson right now at home. And they're a better team and they're in a better spot. The wounded animal exists here at noon at Clemson. I contend that Notre Dame caught a break without this being a night game. Although maybe you could have traded this night game for Louisville, because that certainly didn't help. Yeah. It was unfortunate. That night game at Louisville did not go great. That was
I think that the other night games that they played at Duke and Louisville were sort like at Duke, it was the biggest home game that they've had, I don't know, ever.
Yeah. No, it was.
Louisville, it was a huge game, like maybe going back to like Lamar Jackson. I don't know if they played Clemson at Louisville, but like it was a huge game for Louisville. This is not. Like if there ever was a time for Notre Dame to go to a marquee opponent and Notre Dame's fan base to turn up and buy tickets and wear green, like this is a good opportunity to do that if you're thinking about going to a road game. Cause I just, the enthusiasm for Clemson from Clemson fans, unless you're Tyler from Spartanburg, is just not high right now. And there's an opportunity, I think, for Notre Dame. If they get up, I'm not saying Clemson would quit, but like if Notre Dame's up 10-0 in the first quarter, the team might not quit, but the crowd may, and it could be kind of a weird environment at that point.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I mean, I don't know how you guys look at this. I'm often accused of being pessimistic, and I was around Lou Holtz for 11 years, and he always looked at what could go wrong. So I learned to do it the same way. And I did the whole Tyler from Spartanburg thing, just, you know, you just wonder if this is a circle the wagons kind of moment for the program, because for the Clemson program,
our board is certain that was a Tyler from Spartanburg was a plant, by the way. Have you read the college football?
I buy that theory that it was an inside job. Like those coaches' radio shows, like those calls are heavily screened.
Yeah. It's really hard to get that call past someone and let him go like that too.
Well, Tyler from Spartanburg, who I assume has a last name, but won't reveal it. Did you see his interview with Tigers Illustrated?
Oh no, I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't accept it lightly. He still kind of shot back and said, I don't care what you think. I still think that they should be doing this and doing this. I tend to, as an older person, I feel like my generation is more inclined to agree with Sweeney, and maybe younger generations are more inclined to agree with Tyler from.
I felt like as I was listening to the answer, it reminded me of Tim Priester responding to a question from like B54 or something. Like it was just like, I'm not listening to this.
Tim, I didn't read Tyler from Spartanburg's response, but who does he want Clemson to play? Jordan Johnson, Dracovic, or Spindler? Yeah, which one has to be in?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and I don't like the, well, you make $10.8 million. That's great. But other coaches are making $8-6, whatever. And it's athletic competition. It can't come on the dollars and cents.
He made money because he's won the championships. They didn't give it to him before he won the championships.
No, exactly right. I mean, exactly right. He's got a record of like 161-39. I mean, good Lord. For that matter, Notre Dame's 70-16 in their last 86 games, but of course no championships or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, I tend to side with Sweeney on this one, just because it's like, and I do agree that, expectations outweigh, what was the term?
Reality for one thing, but I'm not sure that was
well fair. Yeah, but yeah, reality,
appreciation,
thank you. And I do think that too frequently impedes the judgment of people watching football games, but anyway, I can't help but think, I didn't think that he was a plant, and I really didn't think because when I saw his quotes. But I don't know, maybe. And it just kind of concerns me that it's a circling of the wagons for the Clemson program and that they just might put it all together this weekend, but not without Will Shipley. And I don't see any way. I know they're saying day to day now, but it's Thursday. And I think by tomorrow we'll find out that Will Shipley's not playing in this game.
I think if he was a NFL quarterback that needed to win, there might be a miracle cure for a concussion protocol, but I don't think that works in college ball these days. Usually it's all up to the doctors, and he took a... It's been a while since a Notre Dame guy got a concussion on a Saturday that looked like, and then came out and played on.
That was like Torrey Hunter level
at
Texas in terms of like the violence of the hit, that I don't remember a whole lot of Notre Dame guys taking a shot like that and then not missing 2 weeks, let alone one.
Yeah, and then you see the aftermath of him just kind of...
Ugh.
crumpled on the goal. I don't mean to laugh at it. Crumpled on the goal line. I mean, you know, I will admit though, when I saw it happen, I can't help but admit that, you know, the first thing you think of is he probably won't play next week.
Yeah. Right. So, it might be for the best.
Certainly doesn't hurt. Anything for Marcus Freeman today, guys? I mean, these are becoming a little anticlimactic and a bit shorter. Today's was a little bit longer. It gets closer to the 15 minutes that are allotted for it. I asked about Christian Gray. I'm really impressed with that kid, both as a player and as a humble, mature kid, interviewing him the other night.
I mean, if Gray's on the high end of being impressed, I asked the question about Devin Ford, because did you watch him block in that game?
Oh, he's fantastic. He's just
an animal. It's for his size, what he's doing out there as a running. I mean, this is like, he's hitting people like Kyren Williams tried to hit people in that Clemson game.
Yeah.
No, he relishes. Williams had to do it 20 times that day.
He relishes that, and he's great on the coverage units too. He's been tremendous.
He needs a 1 yard touchdown against Wake Forest.
Yeah, it's been like more of a, I mean, it's like a glue guy transfer.
Yeah.
We don't really talk a lot about those players because, I mean, they're just like, I get Sam Hartman and Baptiste and Harper. Those are the guys. But I do think Ford's impact probably deserves the appreciation that it's getting right now.
Because it's
pretty easy to miss. If you're just
someone said on our board, and I thought this was refreshing, like, because people are always trying to get rid of players for better players and all that kind of stuff. And Devin Ford's the fourth or fifth running back, obviously. So, like, you know how people get rid of Estime because he's too old right now and those type of things. It's time to move on from a junior that's one of the best.
Who are you hanging out with, O'Malley? Yeah.
The board has these issues.
No, there are some people that are they're past.
All over the board, though, was there is no such thing as a downside of having a guy like Devin Ford on your football team. Like, there's this logical post here. This is so I always say, like, you know, well, they don't need six running backs. Like, yeah, well, they need a guy that can play every special teams and come in and play. So maybe you just need that guy to be on your team. Put him in another position and call him whatever you want.
It's hard to find guys that versatile, and he is absolutely, and he catches the ball. You know, I mean, they haven't done much with him as a running back lately, but he's been good. I want to wrap up real quickly, and I'm going to keep it short. Notre Dame basketball last night, they opened with an exhibition game against Hanover College from Indiana. Marcus Shrewsbury's alma mater, which is why they play them, of course. And they're not any good. They brought like 20 guys, played them all. But I just want to say
it's like an ICCL softball game.
Yeah, exactly. You could take over here for now, Tim. Now, Notre Dame played. They played well. They played well on both ends of the court. They were coached well. They kept pushing the ball further and further away from the basket on the defensive end, offensive end. They worked really hard. The freshmen played extremely well. I've said this on our message board multiple times already. It's in Thursday Thoughts. Check out if you want to know further about the freshmen in particular who all played well. And when we heard Braden Shrewsbury was going to be starting, we were like, okay, I think that he looks like a starter, and he played really well with a lot of confidence last night. Marcus Burton was good. Logan Imes was good. Kerry Booth is long as hell. None of this means anything. The season starts next week, but it was a good first impression. That's all I'm saying.
But we were also just wants to see a team realistically that plays very hard and makes it enjoyable to watch again. Cause it's been a few years. Yeah. I should say it's been a few years. One of the last 4 years was enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. They played very hard last night.
Breaking news though, guys. Apparently on the Michigan scandal, Cardell Jones believes Jim Harbaugh knew, and he had to break his silence to let everybody know that he believes Jim Harbaugh is guilty. Cardell Jones. That's one of the lead stories that popped up on my feed. So, you think about it, that's pretty much the final nail in the coffin that Cardell Jones believes Jim Harbaugh is guilty.
Can't write enough about it.
This episode of Ivers Illustrated is presented by Underdog Sports. We see a lot of you are downloading Underdog, using the promo code, and having fun, which we love to see. If you haven't already, check them out. Be sure you do so. It's super easy to use. You go to the app and pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total than what is listed. For example, if Travis Kelce's number is set at 50 yards and you know Taylor Swift is in the house, you may feel confident he's going to be way higher than that number. Do that with 2 to 5 different players and you're in business. If you go 5 for 5, You can multiply your money times 20. So sign up today with promo code Irish and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code Irish to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. There are a lot of fantasy companies out there, but we decided to partner with Underdog because it's the easiest place to find fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Second segment coming up, burning up the boards.
If you're coming to a game this season, you have to check out Game Day Your Way, the official tailgate service provider of Notre Dame. Game Day Your Way offers everything you need, including tailgate gear, catering, and even beverage delivery right to your spot. And their Irish Express transportation from Chicago allows you to tailgate while you travel to their all-inclusive party zone in South Bend. Let Game Day deal with all the hassle so you can focus on the fun. For tailgates, tickets, transportation, and more, visit GameDayYourWay.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Some things are just made for each other, like tailgates and touchdowns. We're adding one more pair to the list, Aer Lingus and college football. Join us in Dublin this August for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. Too soon? Plan your winter or spring break now with non-stop flights from cities including Chicago, Boston, Los Angeles and New York. Fly in comfort to Dublin, our European hub. Go coast to coast and discover the sights of Ireland or explore any of the 50 plus European cities we connect to, including Amsterdam, London, Paris and Rome. Visit aerlingus.com to book today.
Welcome back to segment two, Burning Up the Boards. Our first question is from FL Irish 76. Is the current playoff committee system flawed? Would either Michigan or Penn State be ranked in the top 20 or at all if you change their names to Western Michigan or Texas Tech? Their schedules are beyond embarrassing and are not better than Tulane's at this point.
Well, every national championship system in the history of college football has always been flawed, and it always will be. And that's because you can't play it like, you know, basketball or baseball, or you can only play once a week. And so it's always going to be flawed. And I swear to God, I was writing that in the 1980s, and it's still true. And I don't know how it will ever be better. Okay. So now you're going to 12 teams next year. There will be flaws in that system as well. Although that's probably as close as we've gotten. But I mean, would you want an eight and one Western Michigan team ranked in the top 10 or top 15? Would that be better if you ranked the group of five? You know, so where should James Madison be then? Should they be seventh this week because they're undefeated? They are still undefeated, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
I don't think the system is flawed on November 2nd, but if these were the rankings on November 30th, I might have a different opinion on it. Like, Michigan still has to play Penn State and Ohio State. Yeah, their schedule has been garbage. Penn State went to Ohio State. They lost. They still have to play Michigan. So we'll find out. And like, the system is so flawed that Tulane, if the season ended today, would be going to a New Year's Six Bowl. Like, I'm fine with that too. So I think Tulane does get a shot. I know that's not the point of the question, but like, it's not like Tulane's being completely overlooked here either. So yeah, this is why you have to let the entire season play out before saying, hey, this system is great, this system is junk, and we've still got, what, four Saturdays of football left to go. And a lot, college football has been, it's so much more backloaded than I feel like it used to be. Like, I feel like we used to get more great games in September, and now they're all in November.
You think that's by design? You think that's
yeah, because I think it's just for for ratings. Like, it's a better, it lets you build up to the hype of the game. Like, I think more people will watch Michigan Ohio State on Thanksgiving weekend than they would on Labor Day weekend, just because, like, you have 3 months to hype it up. But I think the system is just fine as is.
As you know, I don't like the expansion to 12 because I feel like it ruins November. But boy, I wish they were expanding to 12 this year.
Yeah.
If I could pick and choose a Notre Dame defense to go play in a season where there's not a dominant team, yeah, I would choose this season for Notre Dame to be in the playoffs.
Boy, our Decembers are about to change dramatically here coming up.
I know Pete is thinking right now, but Pete, think about the last 5-6 playoffs compared to this one. If you just put Notre Dame's defense in this one, 2018, you still have the Clemson team. That's ridiculous. 2019, you have Joe Burrow's team, whatever. 2020, you still have the Alabama team with 3 of the top 5 Heisman Trophy finalists. I mean, Georgia still would hold Notre Dame and Sam Hartman's offense right now to 7 points in a playoff game. This year is the time that somebody could have an upset win in a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you imagine what December could be. Let's just say Notre Dame finished 10-2 and they finished 10th. That third week in December, they could be playing like a road game at Oregon. Like, I'm like, on a personal life level, that's a disaster. On a professional level, yeah, I think that'd be amazing.
I do too. But now think of some other Notre Dame teams. Although you'd always, if you're a Notre Dame fan, want to see this. Some 10th and 11th ranked Notre Dame teams, you're saying, all right, we're going to go to Oregon to play a playoff game. Like, all right, what is, I don't know what the point of this thing is, but I'll take a pass on that. But this would be, all right, let's see what Oregon has against this defense. It's just, that's a tangent, but this is the one of the few two-loss Notre Dame teams where you'd be like, let's set this thing up and see what happens.
As it relates to the question from FL Irish 76, I want to start a petition to get Danny Cannell on the committee to choose every year, because he is smarter than every committee member.
I knew the sarcasm was coming as soon as you said his name.
No, but
okay,
I mean,
thank God, I missed the sarcasm, and I was about to be very upset.
No, but Tim, you've spoken about how bright Danny Cannell. Look, Danny Cannell is always. Why doesn't he volunteer? Has he volunteered? He should volunteer because he's smarter than every committee member.
Make it sound like he should run for public office, Tim.
Maybe he should do that too. I'm not saying he's not smarter.
You're saying he believes he's the smartest?
He does.
Yeah, he does. He does believe he's the smartest.
Do you guys have a problem with Ohio State being number one?
No.
No. Beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame and held off Penn State? I mean, wait. Well, Penn State's not in the top 20, though.
Well, then Danny Cannell's smarter than you. Yeah. So you're just going to have to get used to that question.
I do want to say to FL Irish 76, it's a very difficult sport because although Michigan has played absolute garbage and we knew it going into the season, doesn't Michigan look like a really good football team from all the years you've watched football?
They're murdering everybody. It's like they know the plays before they happen.
Damn, that's good.
They're just so well coached.
Can't wait for
they do.
Earl Owens to break his silence. You're both on the Jim Harbaugh scandal. They can break the news here.
Question from Madison Irish. With Mitchell Evans out, how does the pass distribution dynamic change for Notre Dame?
I don't want to overreact to it, but it does matter, man. He's the best receiver they have. He's the best third down guy by far. He makes the most difficult catches. Pete, I think you might have heard us last week. We said he actually has made more plays for Sam Hartman than Sam Hartman has for him, which is amazing. So you figure if healthy, I assume he's healthy because he has led Notre Dame's receivers in snaps the last 2 games, Jaden Greathouse. You figure he'll be targeted a couple times as opposed to one, like 3 times, you know, it's around that realm. You have to. You figure Holden stays, gets 1 or 2 more. Figure Rico Flores can get another one, although they're probably targeting him as much as he can, as they can, right? He's just a guy that plays all the time. Merriweather, as Pete has said, they need a shot or so because it just can loosen some things up. I think, Pete, you said that before they went on this 2-game streak of looking good offensively. It's really all encompassing. Everybody needs just a touch more. I really feel like Greathouse is going to get targeted 3 or 4 times in this game since he has played more than any receiver in the last 2 games. I think he's probably healthy and ready to go.
I wonder if they I realize they want the receivers to step up more. I just wonder if it's actually going to be Holden stays and the receiver position won't look that different. The third down conversions, I have Mitchell Evans with 10, or third and fourth down conversions. I have him with 10 for the year. I have the entire receiver room with 10 for the year.
Yeah. It's not close.
That's not going to change in 1 week. I wouldn't say many other games like this is a Tobias Merriweather game, but like Clemson is a team, like if you chuck it deep over the top, like you can get them. So I would chuck it deep over the top to Tobias Merriweather at least a couple times, and see what happens. At least it gets those linebackers to back off a little bit. Maybe Rico Flores can be involved there. Certainly there's got to be at least one Tyree drag back across the formation that comes open, but they need somebody at the receiver position to get open deep, because this is a game where I think that kind of play will be at a premium.
I think you can use Jaden Thomas and Jaden Greathouse in tight end like situations. I mean that they do it with Thomas as a blocker.
I still think you're right about Thomas, that he pulled up and that he's not going to be totally healthy. Yes, he's not going to be totally healthy if you're pulling up on that.
Yeah. That's a big strong dude, and it's hard to keep your hamstring healthy when you're a wideout. Stays obviously is involved as well. I don't know. There's no easy solution, because as you say, Tim O'Malley, Mitchell Evans is our best receiver this season.
And I'm glad you guys brought up Tyree, because I didn't say his name only because I wanted to circle back to Tyree. He's just not a volume guy.
No, agreed.
One or two more targets to Tyree, because he might turn it into something, but feel like it's got to be spread out.
Yep.
Next from Madison Irish.
No, I just did that.
Sorry, you hit that one. Next from Hayden Adam Z. It seems fair to say Notre Dame has taken over Clemson the last couple of years. Do you think the Irish have more staying power than the Tigers, given Notre Dame's history? Or Dabo's willingness to use the portal and NIL will catapult Clemson back? They're saying if Dabo were to use the portal.
Yeah, I guess if Clemson was in the SEC and had done what they've done while being a member of that conference, I might look at it a little bit differently. But with the direction that the ACC is going. But look, Dabo Sweeney's a freaking great coach, man. But he has to. You have to use the portal. You just have to. I saw a tweet today that Clemson has one senior starting on the offensive side of the ball. Well, whose fault is that? Notre Dame did give Marcus Freeman and staff a tremendous amount of credit for what they did in the transfer portal last year. I think they're going to be hard pressed to match the productivity from transfers on a year-to-year basis compared to what they did this year. Is just outstanding. But Sweeney's a great coach, but he's just going to have to do things a little bit differently. I think Notre Dame is here to stay, and I would imagine Clemson's more inclined to have a rebound than to continue down the path of the last 3 years.
I would say that the answer to this question says more about Clemson's descent than Notre Dame overtaking Clemson per se. Like, I think Clemson has fallen off at such a level than the last year. I think they're 7-7 in the last 14 games. Like, that's
since the ND game, they're 7-7.
Yeah,
seven.
That's to me, that like doesn't really say anything about Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame has lost to Louisville in that time, and Notre Dame is kind of back in a better position after like some early wobbles for Freeman, but I don't think Notre Dame is positioned really any differently than they were late stage Brian Kelly, which is a compliment to Notre Dame. Like, they're just in a good spot right now. But to get where Clemson was in 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, like that's a different level entirely.
I think there's one way to do that though. And that is if CJ Carr or Deuce Knight is in the Deshaun Watson realm of quarterbacking. I don't think someone's going to be Trevor Lawrence. That's why Clemson was there.
Yeah, I realize Clemson had other good players than Watson and Lawrence, yeah. But to me, it's like if you took a blueprint of a college football national championship in the last 10 years, Notre Dame's path to it would look a hell of a lot more like Clemson's than it would Georgia. Yes. Notre Dame can't get the volume of defensive guys like Georgia can, but you can find that one superstar quarterback, you got a shot. And then now Clemson is learning, when you think you have the next one and you miss on him, then you're a bit in a bit of trouble.
Twice. I mean, they thought they had two in a row to back it up. That's a hard sell, man. You would imagine when they got DJ and Klubnik in those seasons, that you would have thought to yourself, well, neither one of those is going to work out in the way it has for Clemson in the past. You're like, what? Why are you saying that?
Yeah. I mean, Alabama's living in that world right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is on a little different level.
I did not use him. I used Deshaun Watson as an option.
I know.
Yes. Yep. I know they did not get Trevor Lawrence. That's the first time you saw that guy throw coming in for Kelly Bryant. You're like, oh, okay. How fast did that ball move?
Yeah. Was that an out route on the opposite hash? Because
my realization with Trevor Lawrence, Tim, you were with me, right? We were on the field before the ACC championship game. And that dude came striding across the field. Just like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's what Brian Kelly said post game. He's like, then he started running. We had a little bit of a problem there.
Yeah. Peyton Manning with wheels.
Question from Irish Gambler. How does the Irish defense play Cade Klubnik? Try to pressure and force mistakes, or do they focus more on stopping the run, playing more coverage, and mistakes will come?
I have enough faith in Al Golden to, my answer will be, they will play him expertly in terms of scheme and plan, and I think they'll do a good job because he's got it rolling, man. Maybe Clemson's players will earn their scholarships and beat Notre Dame's players, but Notre Dame's players are going to be in the right spot in this game to put a lot of pressure on Clemson's offense.
It's a all of the above answer here. I don't think Klubnik's going to come out of this game thinking like, man, I really felt like I knew what was coming before the.
No, I totally agree, Pete. And that's just the thing. I mean, Golden's going to throw everything at him. Over the course of 60 minutes, he's going to throw everything at him. You don't want to. Of course, he's going to try to pressure him. Their offensive line is average. Their best offensive lineman is out for the year. He's going to attack him just like he's going to take a similar approach. And when in doubt, I think he'll be more aggressive, because that's what he's been doing. It's working for Notre Dame.
And they have corners that can cover. That's why he could be aggressive.
That can cover. They have a freshman corner that stepped forward last week, so you can run him out there with a little bit more confidence. I mean, stopping the run is going to come down to being physical enough to handle Phil Maffa. And without Shipley,
right?
You know, you just don't. He has that breakaway dash and dance to him. You know, Maffa has pretty good feet too. He has estimate like feet at times when you see some of his runs, but the worst area, the worst part of Clemson's game, and they are missing their best player. That's just not good. You attack the hell out of them. That's exactly what L. Golden's going to do.
Judge Arthur Vandalay, how does Clemson's defensive line compare to last year? They still have Tyler Davis and Xavier Thomas. Even with those two, Notre Dame ran for 263 yards with KJ Henry and Brise last year.
Yeah, when you start throwing out the 263-yard stat, you have to – I mean, you also have to take into consideration Notre Dame's offensive line. Notre Dame's offensive line was strewn with veterans last year. He had veteran guards that I know that, you know, it was – for a lot of people, it was good riddance Josh Lugg, but, I mean, a six-year senior – so that's, you know, that's a big part of it. This is not the Clemson defensive line of 2018 when three of the guys were drafted in the first round. They have good players, and they have depth just like they always do.
I would say the
Clemson defensive line of 2018 lost their All-American nose tackle and nobody remembers it happened because they still held Notre Dame to 3 points.
Yeah, it was a first round pick, if I'm not mistaken. But like,
yeah,
we don't do this enough, but I think it's worth remembering, like, Notre Dame's offensive line had an out-of-body experience in the game last year. Like, yeah. Notre Dame's own coaching staff didn't see that coming last year. So Notre Dame didn't play well against Clemson. They played like a phenomenal, phenomenal game. And it's hard to do that every week, as we've seen. So I think that's when you talk about like, hey, Clemson lost and like Notre Dame did that last year, like that wasn't like a Marcus Freeman talks about the standard or coaches talk about the standard. That wasn't the standard last year. It was like eight levels beyond it from the run game point of view. And like, it's just hard to do that every week.
You know, it's also fair to point out when you say people lost, but player, I don't think it's as good of a defensive line as Clemson has had, but remember beginning of the year when we were saying, well, Notre Dame lost Isaiah Foskey and it's going to hurt the pass rush. And of course it hurts the singular pass rush. We also said, I have a feeling the defensive line is going to be better than last year in the aggregate. Well, it is. Notre Dame's defensive line is better than it was last year without the Adamiolas and Foskey. Overall, it's a better defensive line. It keeps the linebackers clean to make plays. They pressure just as much as they used to. They just don't have Isaiah Foskey looking cool when he pressures.
I don't think Notre Dame's going to rush for 263 yards on Saturday. But Miami rushed for 211 a couple weeks ago against them at 5.6. Now, Clemson's pretty much shut down, you know, everybody else. NC State had 202 yards total offense and won. But, you know, it's still Xavier Thomas. I don't know. Xavier Thomas is in his sixth year. We were talking about that the other day. Tyler Davis is still, Tim, your insider said he's the best defensive lineman they have. I think sometimes he disappears a little bit. I want a Roro because I like to say that name. He's on that defensive line with Justin Maskell. TJ Parker's a freshman who actually leads them in sacks. So here comes the next generation of defensive linemen. I going back to a previous question, man, Dabo Swinney, you can say what you want about him, but they can recruit defensive linemen.
Yeah, my point was just because the names are gone doesn't mean they're not playing. I mean, this is a quality front seven for Clemson. It's a quality defensive line.
Exactly right. And Brissy was, well, remember Brissy, Notre Dame kicked Brissy's butt last
year. Killed last year. It was the strangest thing.
I think he was banged up. He had to be because he was hammered. But no, I mean, it's not high profile, but it's still really, really difficult to run against. And I think more difficult for Notre Dame to run against this year than last year because you had those two ultra experienced offensive guards.
I mean, don't you guys think this line is better than last year's line for Notre Dame? Other than Viper? Viper, it's not close at Viper, clearly. But no, Isaiah Foskey.
No doubt. I mean, there's no doubt that, and the pass rush has become really, really good. Remember it was even after the Navy game. They didn't have any sacks. There's so much more to it, and they have continued to put pressure on the quarterback, and they will pressure Cade Klubnik. He's been pressured all year, and Notre Dame's defensive line should absolutely win in the trenches against that offensive line.
I think the pieces just, they fit together so much better than they did last year. Like, the defensive line has played better than I would have expected, and I think they're better than they were last year. But I think that the big thing to me is just like, the front seven fits together so much better than it did last year. And it's kind of like everyone is making everyone else look good. And that's kind of like turns into this like force multiplier that has been really fun to watch.
And you don't know what comes first. Usually you say the defense, but the linebackers have been fantastic this year compared to last year too. They're a much better group.
They have, but I agree with the sentiment that the D-line has kept them clean too. Yeah. Well, that Leofau is different football player. Different.
There's that too.
Next from Play Like a Champ 7. Marcus Freeman was pretty emphatic about his support for Mike Mickens. Even if Al Golden doesn't leave for another position, could you see co-coordinator status coming his way this offseason as a way to ensure they don't lose him as a coach and to prepare him for a DC role?
Yeah, I don't know what Al Golden's reaction to that would be. I don't know.
Just make him passing game coordinator in the exact formal sense in some way. That's how you do it.
Well, what?
He already is, right?
He is, but not. When did we hear about that, though? We don't refer to him to that until the last 2 weeks that Mike Mickens is the passing game coordinator, you know?
No, we don't. I actually wanted to try to get into that specifically with Golden the other day, and it just didn't work.
How did that go?
It didn't get into that, but we did get into our previous discussion from the week before, and it went quite well. It went quite well. Coach Golden and I had a difference of opinion the previous Tuesday. Let's just put it that way.
I think maybe one way you could elevate Mike Mickens as co-coordinator and have him do media every other week.
That's what I was going to say.
Could be Wintrell Golden.
It's part of the preparation is to come out and talk. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it, right?
I mean, I think that it's possible. You know, at the end of the day, it's the title brings more income. And so that's right. That's the true value of the title.
Tim, I don't know about your conversation with Coach Golden, but I just want to speak for everybody at Irish Illustrated that if you had that last year after the USC game, everyone would have sided with you. And this year, right now, no one is siding with you. So we're just going there with the
elephant. It wasn't so much my line of questioning as much as just the approach to the answers to my questions. I'll just leave it at that. We're good. I was due for one. I've been behaving myself way too much in these interview sessions.
I'm finally intrigued about something I missed right now. Hey, I'm siding with Golden. The defense is great, Tim. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, that's fair. If you tell me the defense continues to play great, I side with Golden too.
Good one. Go ahead.
Question from Irish Fan 151. In what area does Clemson have an advantage Saturday?
I think they will be able to handle the Notre Dame running game this time. Unless, of course, Sam Hartman can keep them off balance as he has, like, the NC State game, the Pittsburgh game. I think Hartman has to have a really good day to unleash Notre Dame's running game. Otherwise, I like Clemson man for man up front having a good day against them.
Yeah, I would add Notre Dame or secondary against Notre Dame's receivers is still, that's an advantage for Clemson still. Tim, I think you talked about this on the Monday podcast, like, the Clemson defense still has the advantage over Notre Dame's offense. It's just that Notre Dame's defense has a bigger advantage over Clemson's offense. So yeah, it's not hard to find advantages for Clemson. One of them is not place kicker though. So, you know, there's.
Because BK Potter or BT Potter, whatever his name is finally gone. He was there a long time.
Yeah. Now they've gone the man on the street approach.
Pete, I don't know. I mean, Jonathan Weitz is there. He was the kicker who left the team during the preseason. And then they brought in a guy out of the student body and he missed 3 out of 4 field goals and an extra point. And Dabo called Weitz back, who was finishing his degree online and came back and is now kicking for them.
I can think of a place where if you are in need of a kicker, you could find one in the offseason that has had a good career and could maybe help your team as a graduate student.
How, transfer how would portal. You acquire them, though?
Yeah, I don't know how you would ever get them to come to your school or not, but I think that might... I don't know if it would ruin your culture if you brought in a 175-pound graduate of the University of Harvard University. It might work out. Fine. You could just bring that guy in and kick.
Just ridiculous. They have a kicker named Robert Gunn, and he's not good.
No, he lost his job. But, you know, the Clemson advantage is... like I mentioned, the circling of the wagons, to use an old term. And yeah, I think the fans will be, you know,
Not drunk enough.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's part of it. Notre Dame's here. That, like we said, Tim, I mean, the best thing to happen to Clemson is that Notre Dame's coming to town this week.
Don't you think this could be a counter to that? That rule, like an exception to that rule, like Clemson has played in so many more games that are much bigger than Notre Dame coming to town. It's not like, you know, NC State or Louisville. That's like, but Notre Dame's coming. Like, that's a big, big deal for Clemson. It's like, we were in the playoff 2 years ago. Like, how big of a deal is this?
No, it's true. But I mean, they want to avenge the consecutive losses in Notre Dame Stadium. That's why, Tim, you were saying, if this was in Notre Dame Stadium,
Notre Dame's going to party on Wake Forest.
If you're a Clemson fan, who do you want to beat more, Notre Dame for last year or South Carolina for last year?
What, you can't get up for both?
They're barely getting up for anything. So I just think, like, South Carolina might be a more important game to the Clemson fan base than Notre Dame. That's their big rivalry end of the year. You got to hear about it for 364 days. I just think that, like, in every other example, like the intangibles, I would agree with everything you're saying. I just think Clemson, there's some peculiarities with Clemson as a program right now where, like, beating Notre Dame might not be like the season saver that it would be for almost anybody else in the country.
It just depends where their frame of mind is with, in accordance with their head coach and coaching staff. I mean, are they, I mean, do they want to try to salvage the season in some way, shape, or form, beat Notre Dame and South Carolina? I mean, I agree that South Carolina is a greater rivalry. South Carolina is not very good this year. But I don't know. You know, I mean, I still think Notre Dame going into that place, whether it's at night, which certainly is more difficult, but I still think it's going to be, it's that, that's part of what's going to make this so difficult. I do think Notre Dame will play well, though. I really do. I think Marcus Freeman, they're playing their best football. I think he's tapped into something right now.
That's going to lead us into our predictions. But first, Irish from A2, what is a realistic expectation for the offense versus Clemson?
What, like yardage wise, points wise?
No, yardage is no fun. Like, okay,
I think 24 to 27 wins.
That's a realistic expectation, too. Yep. 24 points, 27 points.
Yep.
I think, yeah, anything over three touchdowns is a win for Notre Dame. So that would, I would set that at realistic expectations.
Realistically, is one turnover or less. A quality running game, if not a quality running game that also suffers stuffs, which is going to make Sam Hartman have to complete some important passes. I mean, if they had 10 stuffs against Pitt, I know what the way Pitt plays, they fire at you, you're going to get 10 stuffs. That's probably like 8 would have been the minimum against Pitt, and they got 10. I thought they did a good job actually handling that, but Clemson's going to come at you too with that. You would like to think Chris Tyree keeps getting better, Rico Flores keeps getting better, and Holden Stays plays well, not as well as Mitchell Evans would have. You know, I really think, again, I'm going to keep, he's been playing better. Jadarian Price is a key again. If you can have him and Estime going, that gets tough to stop after four quarters.
I did want to mention, and I said it Monday, and it's been in some of the stuff we've had on Irish Illustrated this week, but RJ Mickens, their safety, who I believe was their returning leading tackler, he has appendix removed between the was it Wake Forest, Miami? I think it was between Miami and last week's game against NC State. So that's a key guy, but they're really good back there. Sheridan Jones is really experienced. Nate Wiggins is getting a lot of discussion about being a high draft pick. Their free safety Jalen Phillips is good. Makuba, the nickelback, number one, is good. One guy I think Notre Dame, when he will play, Toriano Pride, number 23. I think that's a guy that they may try to isolate something on when they get a chance. But
they've only given up, what, 8 touchdown passes?
How many Clemson has given up?
Yeah, that's a quality. There's no corner on their team has given up more than one. No, they're playing well.
They're good on every level. They're good on every level. And probably, I love their linebackers. I mean, you could argue the least of their three levels is their D line, and that's
which I like. That's good to hear. Good. Yep.
And that's good and deep. So it's going to be tough. It's. I mean, it certainly looks like a low-scoring game. Tim, you and I are going to hit under one of these times.
Hey, we got it with Duke. That worked out.
Yeah.
Duke went under. Yeah.
All right, it is time for predictions. Gentlemen, you're up.
I've been trying to talk myself into taking Clemson just because I think I've taken Notre Dame to win every game this year, which is kind of boring. Yeah, I know, right? But I can't get there with this one. Because I just think Cade Klubnik is bad. And Sam Hartman, while not being great, is way better than Cade Klubnik. And I have a very difficult time seeing Clemson via Klubnik not spotting Notre Dame 2 turnovers in the game. And if you get to Notre Dame, if Notre Dame is even in this game from a turnover margin point of view, they will win. But I think that they're going to be positive because of Cade Klubnik, because he can't hold on to the ball. And Notre Dame's going to make him not hold on to the ball. So I don't think Notre Dame's offense has really figured anything out the last couple of weeks, despite the point totals being up. But I just don't think it's going to matter because they're not going to have to score a ton to win the game. So I'll go Notre Dame 23-17, something like that. I have a hard time seeing Clemson getting to 20. I have a very hard time seeing Notre Dame getting to 30. But that kind of leaves me in the 23-17 range.
him. Somebody's got forced five turnovers this week because Louisville did against Notre Dame, and then Notre Dame did against USC, and then last week against Pittsburgh.
Well, it'll probably be Notre Dame. I agree. I think it'll be Notre Dame as well. I think Notre Dame did find a little bit offensively the last 2 weeks, although they lost some of it in their best player. That's not great. They need that guy in their passing attack because their passing attack is pedestrian right now, and Mitchell Evans was their best player. And I think you guys made a good point very recently that Pete did. The Clemson corners are better than the Notre Dame wide receivers, and now Mitchell Evans is not there. So, but all things being equal, if Notre Dame can't run great and doesn't pass well, and Clemson can't run on Notre Dame and doesn't pass well against Notre Dame because they have one of the best pass defenses in the country, I have a lot more faith in Notre Dame protecting the football under adverse circumstances and playing everyone's favorite term of complimentary football than Cade Klubnik. I think Will Shipley does make a difference because his stats aren't great, but the guy is a winner. He really, really comes at you with everything, and it would help their running game and their short passing game with him there. He's also a kick returner. You don't have to worry about him as much when he's not there. I think Notre Dame's found a little bit on offense, and I'm in the 24-16 range for Notre Dame. I think they will hold Clemson to field goals is the key for Notre Dame. There will be some yards, but this defense in the red zone can hold Clemson and Klubnik, and Notre Dame's corners are much better than Clemson's wide receivers. We're always going against Notre Dame's wide receivers. Notre Dame's corners are better than Clemson's wide receivers.
I would agree with that. I am going to defend Cade Klubnik a little bit because he is a first-time starter. And he's making mistakes with people in his face. It's because he doesn't have a quality offensive line. And I think he has a chance to be a decent quarterback, but it doesn't look like it right now.
Yeah, I think we're saying he's a first-time starter still this week, too.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes when I watch him, like this happened in the NC State game, there's somebody in his face who is running totally unblocked because Cade Klubnik is responsible for understanding where pressures are coming from before they get there, and he doesn't.
That's fair enough. Yeah, so. No, that's fair. No, and that's why, I mean, getting back to, what was it, Irish Gambler's question, that Notre Dame's coming after Cade Klubnik, man. They don't want him to have any time to stand back there and look. They're coming after him.
So bigger surprise then, Notre Dame scores 33 or Clemson scores 24?
I will cheat on this one. It will be Clemson 24 because I could see Notre Dame getting to 33 with like multiple pick sixes.
I could too. I could see or short field picks is what you're saying too, like the USC game. Yeah.
Complimentary football, man.
I think that was all offline, so people aren't going to get the joke.
Yeah. was it?
I think so.
Didn't I say? I'm not a big fan of because I don't really, it seems contrived to me a little bit.
It's just football.
That it just happens. Yes, exactly. That it's not exactly, a give and take. But anyway, I see low scoring too. The answer to the question, what do I see more likely, Notre Dame 33 or Clemson 24? I don't see Clemson at 24. I don't see Notre Dame at 33. But what can I say? I like the under. I like the under again. I've liked the under all year, and my under picks haven't been coming through for me. But we're going to have much more tomorrow. We'll have our staff picks. We'll have the long Irish Illustrated preview. I don't think, because of the early kickoff, we would normally plan for a game of this magnitude, quote magnitude in quotes, that we would have a Irish Illustrated overtime pregame, but with the early kickoff, we won't be doing that. But if you're not a subscriber, check us out on irishillustrated.com, and then postgame, look for us on Facebook, our Facebook page and YouTube channel when we do the Irish Illustrated overtime. You got something there, Tim?
No, I just got more breaking news. It turns out I got an email that Notre Dame is one of the 8 most desired teams to join a conference, and you wanted to know.
I got that email too. I deleted it.
Did you share it with Theory? Because I just didn't. I thought 8 was pretty low. Actually.
They only made the top 8. They didn't make.
They didn't say where they are in the top 8. It could have been number 1. I'm not going to read anymore. But that I broke a lot of news today with Cardale Jones being upset that Jim Harbaugh cheated. That's the final straw, man. The nail in the coffin. It's over. You're not going to the playoffs or anything if Cardale Jones doesn't think it's true. Jeez.
Well, next time we converse with our readers and subscribers and followers, it will be on Saturday when number 15 Notre Dame takes on Clemson. Looking forward to our trip to playing into Greenville and then Clemson and Memorial Stadium. Regardless of the records, really looking forward to this game. Until then, I'm Tim Priester with Tim O'Malley and Pete Sampson. This has been Irish Illustrated Insider.